Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. All right, it is Open Championship Week, one of my favorite weeks in the golf season. I love the Open Championship, or the British Open, as it is sometimes called. People have that discussion, it seems like, all the time. Is it the Open Championship or the British Open? I always refer to it as British Open, but it seems like lately everybody calls it the Open Championship. And then some people get bent out of shape when people call it the British Open. But Phil Mickelson had an interesting tweet that he sent out, and he said that every year I come over here, there's a debate on if it's the Open or the British Open. And he went on to say the Earl of Airlie referred to it as the British Open when awarding Bobby Jones the claret jug in 1930 at Hoy Lake, and both are acceptable. So there you go. For anybody that thinks it has to be called the Open Championship, it can also be referred to as the British Open. All right. So why is this one of my favorite terms? I love the fact that the elements play such a big factor in the golf tournament. I love the fact that for the most part, and I'm thinking with the exception of maybe the one year when I think back at Carnoustie where the golf course got a little unruly, but for the most part, they really just leave the golf course alone. And it really is determined by, you know, the way the golf course plays is determined by the weather during the tournament and the weather leading up to the tournament. I mean, if it's a dry, you know, summer, then the golf course is probably not going to have a lot of rough. And if it's a wet summer, it's going to have a lot of rough because, I mean, they don't have wall-to-wall irrigation systems over at the British Open golf courses. And I like that. I like the fact that they don't try to control the scores, whatever the score is, that's the score. And the tournament is really the thing that stands out. And I like that. I like the fact that, generally speaking, there's a pretty darn good leaderboard at the Open Championship. And I like the different style of play. I like the fact that it's a game that's played more along the ground. It's not, you know, something that we typically see in the United States. You want to keep the ball down because the wind conditions that typically are at the Open Championship and the courses over there in England and Scotland and Ireland, you have to leave openings in front of the green so that you can roll the ball up, hit the ball low, bounce it in. It's a different style of play. I like the fact that around the greens, you see a lot of different shots. Some players will pitch it. Some players will chip it. A lot of times players putt it. I like that play around the greens. I've just always liked the Open Championship. I just always have. And I have some incredible memories of the Open Championship. I mean, not the least of which is when Mark O'Meara won in 1998. I wasn't there, but I was watching intently on TV because Mark was my prize student for so many years. And when he won in 1998, he beat Brian Watt in a playoff, a three-hole playoff. And they were playing at Royal Birkdale, which is one of my favorite golf courses. And it was also the golf course that Mark O'Meara won the Lawrence Batley Invitational on the European Tour, and I happened to be caddying for him during that event. Mark and I went over there just to hang out and, you know, buddy around, and we stayed together, and I caddied for him. And he ended up winning that golf tournament in epic fashion, holed two full seven irons on the last day. And ended up winning by, I don't know, one or two shots, but it was absolutely incredible. I'll never forget that. And that was the tournament when I gave him the wrong yardage about two or three times. Actually, I did it once in the practice round, and then he said, "Give me that yardage book." When he sailed a 6-iron over the green, when I added instead of subtracted, when I was telling him how far he was, you know, it was like 160 minus, you know, 8. And I added 8. So I said it's 168. And it was supposed to be 152. And he sailed one right over the green. And that was the end of me having the whole control of the yardage book. But then I managed to give him another bad yardage. I'm reminiscing here. I managed to give him another bad yardage on the 10th hole of the championship. We actually, it was like on a Friday, I think. We'd played the back nine first. So we came around to the front nine. And, of course, you have your pin sheets. And I told him that, you know, the pin's, you know, 30 on and it's 5 from the right. And he looks at the green, you know, from a distance. Are you sure that pin's 5 from the right? I said, yeah. And I showed him, you know, here, 30 on, 5 from the right. And sure enough, we, you know, but he had a long shot. I mean, it was like a 3-iron into the green. Anyway, we get up there and the pin's like right on the left-hand side of the green. And he goes, he says, how did you come up with that yardage? I said, and I looked at my pin sheet. Of course, I was looking at the 10th hole because it was our 10th hole, but we were on the first hole. And then I said, hey, what difference does it make? You're hitting a 3-iron anyways. Just hit it anywhere on the green. That was a great shot. But anyway, we had fun with that moment. But I remember the golf course, Royal Birkdale, and I love that golf course. And Mark always played that golf course so well. So that was it was cool to see him win the 1998 Open Championship at Royal Birkdale for his second major in a year. Of course, he won the Masters that year as well. That's one of my great Open Championship memories. And then I've got some other ones. I've got some incredible ones with Tiger that I want to share with you. One when he won at St. Andrews, and another one when he won at Hoy Lake, and that was 2005, 2006. He won the Open Championship 2 years back-to-back when I was coaching him, so that was pretty cool. So I'm gonna share those memories with you and my stories from those tournaments when we come back. But if you want some help with your golf game, remember to go to HaneyUniversity.com and register so you can get my instructional videos that we send out all the time. And you will be on your way to playing better golf. You can also do a couple other things. One, you can find some great deals at HaneyUniversity.com. Free shipping on everything. Some great training aids. Phenomenal pull cart. The best there is. A great range finder. A great launch monitor. A lot of good stuff on there. But to get the free instructional videos. So make sure you sign up for those. You can also send your swings in to golfschools@hankhaney.com. And for free, one of my great instructors, either the great predictor Steve Johnson or one of my other instructors, will analyze those swings for you for free, absolutely free, and get back to you in short order with some advice on what you can do to help your game. And then you combine that with watching my instructional videos from HaneyUniversity.com, and you will be on your way to playing better golf this year. So go there and check it out. All right, we'll be right back. Every time one of these major championships, one of these big tournaments rolls around, it brings back memories for me. And the Open Championship, as I said, is definitely one of those tournaments. I love the Open Championship. I always liked going over to the Open Championship. When I was with Mark O'Meara and when I was with Tiger Woods, we used to go over there and practice before, like oftentimes the week before, we go over and go to Ireland and practice the week before. So I mean, it was these were always incredible memories for me. But the thoughts that came to my mind immediately when I thought about the Open Championship was when Tiger won in 2005 at St. Andrews. Of course, St. Andrews, the home of golf, an incredible golf course. If you've never played St. Andrews, it's definitely a bucket list golf course to play, bucket list moment for sure. And I've been lucky enough to play there, but also even more lucky to walk around and watch great players play it, which, you know, that's always been more fun to me, for me, to be honest with you. Like, people would say, like, Hank, have you ever played this course or ever played that course? And like, if it's a course that I've watched a major championship on, honestly, I really like when I used to watch a major championship on a course, I didn't like think to myself, oh, I'd love to go play this course. Because it was almost like I've watched people play it the way you're supposed to play it, and a way that I definitely couldn't play it, because on my best day, I couldn't play like Mark O'Meara or Tiger Woods. And you know what? I didn't have any desire to play those courses because I've seen them played the way that you're supposed to play it. But in 2005, when Tiger won it at St. Andrews, you know, he blew away the field there. I forget how many he won by. It was like six or eight or something like that. It was a bunch. I mean, it was never really, really in doubt. And he was really ready to play that tournament. I remember the week before we went over to the Open Championship, and the week before, or, you know, 2 weeks before, I can't remember exactly what it was, but leading up to it, we were all gearing up for the Open Championship. And make no mistake about it, when the Open Championship is at St. Andrews, it's just a little bit more special. I mean, it just is. You know, the Masters, is the special tournaments are the Masters. You know, the PGA is the PGA. It's a great, great tournament. The U.S. Open's a great tournament. It doesn't matter where the U.S. Open's played. It doesn't matter where the PGA is played. They're all the same. They're U.S. Opens and PGAs. It's just the way it is. The U.S. Open at Torrey Pines meant more to Tiger Woods, but other than that, they're all the same. The Masters is special, and the Open Championship at St. Andrews is special. I mean, any Open Championship is great, but an Open Championship at St. Andrews is special. And I remember the 2005 leading up to St. Andrews, you know, Tiger was really... he was really tuned in to trying to win that golf tournament. One of the big things you have to do at St. Andrews is there's a couple things you have to do. One, you have to keep the ball out of the bunkers. You have to do that pretty much at every Open Championship. And the reason being is that because it's so windy over in Scotland, Ireland, England, it's so windy that the bunkers are extremely deep. If they weren't deep, then all the sand would just blow right out of the bunkers, which it can do anyways. But by making them deeper, it keeps the sand in the bunkers. So when you hit it in a bunker, a sand trap, at an Open Championship, I mean, you're pretty much chipping out. I mean, sometimes you're sideways, sometimes you're backwards, but you're definitely not advancing to knocking it on the green. I mean, that's a big difference between golf as it's played pretty much, you know, other places in the world and how it's played at a Open Championship. So you've got to keep the ball out of the bunkers at St. Andrews, and you have to be able to lag putt. You have to. Now, the greens aren't fast because they can't have them fast because they've got to plan on the fact that we could have 40-mile-an-hour winds. And if you have a 40-mile-an-hour wind and you have sloped greens, which not many of them are, but when you get to the back corner there at St. Andrews, you know, like 8, 9, 10, I mean, you get some slope greens. And if the ball's moving on the green, then they got to stop play. So they're never going to have the greens that fast at the Open Championship because of the potential fact that the wind could come up to 40 or 50 miles an hour and they don't want to stop play and not be able to finish because you can't get the ball to stop on the green. So that's one of the main reasons why the greens are a lot slower at the Open Championship. So if you're preparing for an Open Championship, you have to get prepared for your lag putting, and especially at St. Andrews, because St. Andrews has all these double greens. Matter of fact, there's double greens pretty much everywhere. I mean, like, okay, 17's not a double green, 18's not a double green, 1's not a double green, but pretty much the rest of the holes are all double greens. So you've got like number 2 is a double green with number 16. And these greens are huge. And it's kind of difficult to really miss a green, but you could be on the green at St. Andrews, but you're going to have a 100-foot putt or more. So you have to be able to hit great lag putts. And you also have to have great touch from putting from off the green. Well, these are two shots that you really don't have a lot in the United States. You really don't. So you really want to be practicing your lag putting. And I remember how dialed in Tiger was practicing his lag putting. I remember the week of the Western Open, we would find the longest putts on the putting green and just practice them. So he could, even though the speed wasn't exactly the same, because on the U.S. courses, the PGA Tour, when the greens all roll pretty much, 11 on the stemp meter, and they're pretty much the same every single week. But still, it was getting the feeling of hitting long putts. And then when we got to St. Andrews, Tiger spent an inordinate amount of time compared to how he used to practice putting long leg putts. And of course, there's plenty of time to practice and there's not much to do over there. I mean, it's not like it's not like you're watching a bunch of television stations, because they don't even have a bunch of television stations over there. So what is there to do when it's light till 11 o'clock at night, which is pretty much when it gets dark over there? It's only dark in the summer over in Scotland. It's only dark for a few hours. And so we would go out to the putting green and just practice. And I always loved that. I mean, I loved the more we practiced, the more I liked it. And the more we practiced, the more I felt like, you know what? This tournament is over. It's over. Now, a lot of it is contingent on getting a good start. There's no doubt about it. But I remember that tournament because the 2005 Open Championship, Tiger got off to a phenomenal start. I don't know what he shot on the first nine. I think he shot like 6 under or something like that, maybe a 30. He was off and running. And I mean, already I thought, oh boy, here we go. Because the first round was the round that was always the telltale round for Tiger. He always would kind of, his whole term would be dictated by that first round. And he would always start off a little nervous typically, because in the first round, you can lose a term. If you're a great player, you can lose a major championship in the first round. You can't win it, but you can lose it. And I always felt there's more pressure in the first round than any other round, but he got off to a great start in that tournament, shot nothing on the first nine. It was just kind of off and running the whole way. One of my big memories was on the driving range, and I think it was either the third or fourth round. I can't remember exactly what round it was. We were on the driving range, and there's different yardage markers out on the driving range. They stick them out there. Set them up. When they set up the range, they stick some yardage markers up. They got a 50-yard marker. They got a 100-yard marker. They got a 150-yard marker. They got a 200-yard marker. And I remember one day warming up, and Tiger would start off every day warming up. He'd hit some wedges first. And he starts off hitting a little sand wedge to the 50-yard marker, and he hit the 50-yard marker like on the first shot. Just only 50 yards away. He's Tiger Woods. He just, bounced it into the 50-yard marker. I thought, well, good shot. Then he move on to the 75-yard marker. And sure enough, within 5 or 6 shots, he's bounced one into the 75-yard marker. This is a true story. And then he gets to the 100-yard marker. And he bounces one into the 100-yard marker. And it doesn't hit the one or the first, the last zero, it hits the middle zero. And I'm thinking, geez, he's hit every yardage marker so far. And then he hits the 150-yard marker. And I remember saying to Steve Williams, I said, Stevie, and I was kind of half joking. I said, if Tiger gets that ball within like 100 yards of the hole, I said, tell him not to aim at the pin, because he's hit the yardage marker. He's hit 4 yardage markers so far. And he's nailing them all right in the center. And he kind of chuckled. Anyway, I remember that net. It was either the second hole or the third hole. And Tiger had like 100 yards in. And sure enough, if he didn't bang that thing right off the pin, ricocheted off the pin and into the sand trap. He ended up winning by a bunch anyways, but I'll never forget that, hitting all those yardage markers. Oh my God, he was so dialed in. No way he was ever going to lose that tournament. That was incredible. All right, I got another good story for you about the 2006 Open Championship at Hoy Lake that I'll share with you when I come back. Remember, if you've got aches and pains, muscle soreness, arthritis pain, joint pain, whatever it is, try my Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. You can get it for free. Just go to voodoopainrelief.com and you will get some relief. Everybody does. It's guaranteed, although you don't need a guarantee because you're getting it for free. But there's a reason why people keep reordering this product, because it works. And they send me these emails time and time again, people just raving about the product. I want you to try it. I want you to try it for free because I know you're going to like it. I know it's going to help you. And all you have to do is go to voodoopainrelief.com. All right, my next story is about the 2006 Open Championship at Hoy Lake, which Tiger Woods also won. And that was a big one. I mean, that was the first major that he won after his father had passed away. That was an emotional win for him. What do I remember about that tournament? That was one of the, arguably, his greatest ball striking tournament ever. And I think people regard it as one of the best ball striking tournaments of all time. And it really was. That was the tournament where he hit one driver. And like the whole tournament, I think he hit a 3-wood off of 17 on Sunday, par 5. But other than that, he didn't hit any woods. And it was the practice round, the first practice round. Remember, we got over there because we would get over there early, tee off in the like Saturday or Sunday morning. I can't remember exactly what day it was, but we got over there before Monday. You know, traditionally people start practice rounds on Monday, but we got there before then. And I think it was Sunday. We flew over there. We'd, basically fly all night, get there and go right to the golf course and, play a little practice round. And we got out on the first hole and Tiger hit driver off the first hole. And the course was really, really firm. Really, really baked out. And he had driver off the first hole and, didn't hit it great. Let's face it. I mean, he was not the straightest driver. Although when people criticize his driving during the period of time that I helped him, 2004 through 2010, it's really not altogether accurate. Because if you go back and look at the statistics, and, of course, now they have the strokes gain statistics. I mean, all the idiots in the media used to tell me all the time about his driving accuracy ranking and, so on and so forth. Then they tell me about his distance ranking. Of course, they didn't take into fact that he used the shortest ball, a Nike ball, the shortest ball on the PGA Tour by over 10 yards. They didn't take that into account. How could they? They didn't know anything. So these people in the media would tell me all about his driving accuracy, and I'd say, he doesn't drive the ball in trouble. He doesn't hit it out of bounds, doesn't hit it in the water. He didn't hit all the fairways, but he hits it a long way. When you hit a long way, you're not going to hit it straight all the time. Anyway, his driving strokes gained statistics numbers were good, like top 10, 5. I remember like I think 2006 he was 5th, something like that. He was a better driver than people would gave him credit for during that period of time. And of course, he was the most dominant player, ever during that period. And 145% of his tournaments, top 10, 85% of the time. So driving accuracy didn't matter. But see, here's the thing. When they played at Hoy Lake, you immediately noticed that the bunkers were totally unplayable. Every time you hit it in a fairway bunker, you literally had to come out sideways. So the fairway bunkers might as well just been water hazards. Hit it in a fairway bunker, take a drop, and hit from there. I mean, that's it, essentially every time you hit it in a fairway bunker, you were taking a one-shot penalty. And Tiger quickly saw how firm the golf course was, and he thought, you know what? If I can keep the ball out of the bunkers and never have a penalty for hitting it in a bunker, because every one of them is a one-shot penalty, equivalent of, if I could eliminate that, he said, I'm gonna win this tournament. And that's when he decided. He hit one driver in the practice round, and that was it. And after that, he just started playing all irons. And see, here's the thing. Like, you know, people would say, well, you know, boy, that was an amazing, a strategy. How, you know, coming up with that strategy was great. It wasn't just the strategy. That was the least anybody could have come up with that strategy. Hit an iron. The problem was, is the bunkers were situated where if you hit a less than a driver, a three wood would still get to the bunker. The driver, you know, could maybe carry the bunker, but you don't know where it's going to end up. If you hit an iron off the tee, most players would have been too far back. The golf course would have played just absolutely too long. But Tiger had that incredible stinger shot when I was with him. He could hit that ball just head high. I could just see it right now, just holding that finish, extending that release. And he would hit that low shot in, and that iron, he could run that iron out there 20, 30, 40 yards longer than the other players. So the other players couldn't hit iron because they didn't have that shot. And Tiger wouldn't have had that shot had it not been for the fact that, well, one, he had that shot, but two, he couldn't have used that shot if the golf course hadn't have been so firm. But because it was so firm and he had that low shot, he could play that low shot. And if he hit that two iron just head high stinger, running out there like crazy, no matter how far it ran, it was still going to be just short of the bunkers. And it was a perfect strategy for only him. And he employed that strategy the whole time, and it was absolutely incredible. The shot that stands out for me is the shot on, I think it was on Saturday, when he holed the four iron out on the par four on the back nine. It was just an amazing shot. I mean, he had so many amazing shots. It was incredible. But the strategy was one that everybody thought, oh, it's this incredible strategy. Well, it was a strategy that would only work for him because he's the only one that had that incredible stinger shot. Anyway, those are two of my biggest Open Championship memories. I love the Open Championship. One thing I don't like about the Open Championship, here's the one thing I don't like. I don't mind it when I'm watching, but I didn't like it as a coach. Because what would happen as a coach is you would prepare with the player, whoever it was I was helping, you would prepare, and you think, okay, you know, we're ready to go. And you know what? You know, he's playing good enough to win this tournament. Whoever it was, whether it was Mark, whether it was Tiger, he's playing good enough to win this tournament. But now comes the luck factor. And you have more of a luck factor at Open Championships than you have at any other tournament. And the problem is it's because the days are so incredibly long and they're links courses, meaning they're, you know, typically near water. So what happens is they have long day, big field. Tee times are stretched out forever. I mean, they'll start at like, you know, 6 a.m. and go till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So the tee times are forever. I mean, they are so long. And there's so many players in the field. The tide comes in, the tide goes out. Every time the tide changes, the wind changes, the weather changes. And there's so many years at the Open Championship where you'll look at the leaderboard and you'll look at the top 20 players on the leaderboard And 15 out of the top 20 or 16 of the top 20 will have come from the early morning wave on Thursday. Because what will happen is, like, you know, players will tee off on Thursday morning and they'll have no wind, no rain. And then all of a sudden in the afternoon, it's pouring down rain. The wind's blowing 40 miles an hour. And it's just luck of the draw. It's just luck of the draw. You know, it's like do you get morning time on Thursday and afternoon on Friday, or afternoon on Thursday, morning on Friday? And what's the weather going to be like? And the days are so long, the weather changes so much, the likelihood that it's going to be the same all day long is very, very slim. Does not happen very, it happens, but not very often. But that's what I always feared. I always feared, oh man, I hope we don't get screwed with the weather. I mean, I just hope, you know, when we tee off, I hope, you know, we get good weather, you know, both days, or at least don't get, you know, the worst of it. You know, maybe we can overcome it, but let's just not, let's, hopefully we won't get the worst of it. That's the one thing about the Open Championship that's so hard to predict. So when people are predicting who's going to win, this guy's going to win, or I think that guy's going to win, I mean, it's all such an absolute guess. Because you don't, how do you, you know, I'll hear everybody on TV and radio, and they're all saying, oh, I think this guy's going to win. I think this, how do you know what weather that guy's going to get? I mean, that guy you just are so sure you think is going to win might have zero chance to win. Because if he gets the bad weather just by the luck of the draw, your chances are gone. It's a lot of preparation. It's a long trip to get over there. I mean, it's not luxurious accommodations over there. Don't kid yourself. I mean, it's not. And you get over there, and then all of a sudden you get the bad weather or the bad end of the draw, and you had no chance, pretty much. And that happens. That's the one thing about the Open Championship that, you know, is kind of, you know, well, as a coach, I didn't like it. And the players, too. They fear. You just got to do your best. You just got to prepare and just take it as it comes. But that's the one thing that you see at a British Open, an Open Championship. Yeah, you got a little luck of the draw with the tee times. All right. Hope everybody enjoyed the podcast. I can't wait for the Open Championship this week. It's going to be absolutely must-watch for me, for sure. Can't wait. Follow me on Twitter, at Hank Haney. Email your questions and comments to hankhaneygolf@outlook.com. Get your free offers, Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. Get it at voodoopainrelief.com. And my instructional videos at haneyuniversity.com. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app so you get the podcast every day. And hope everybody has a great day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on the Hank Haney Podcast. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.